walk with God, that it's his will. That was his will. Even though I desired that, I mean, like, you know, like a hunger desire. But I know, and listen to my sisters, you know, and other people that does know God at work. God knows what's best for his children. See, we can't see way out there what this could have done or what it could have been for you. And it's something God probably protected you from. And when you hear stuff like that, you have to say, God never fails me. He knows. And to hear that song tonight, he always meets my needs. Even though I might pray this way and think he's going to answer that prayer this way because that's the way I prayed and not really, you know, mumbling, if it's your will, Lord, you know. But I really want this, God, you know. But it's your will, Lord, if it's your will, you know. But in my heart, was I really being honest with God that if it's your will? I have to say, I don't think so. I had to come to that point and realize God did what was best for me. It was his will. And I had to accept that, Brother Smith. And I'm like, God is a good God, and he knows what I need to keep walking in this way with him. Because that's my whole thing. Once I deal with it, sat down and thought about it, he is directing my steps, my path, in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And he knows what I need. And every time I go through a trial or test, it's helping me get closer to him and understanding why I'm a child of God in the body of Christ. Because there's other people who trust in God, and they go through trials and tests, but do they really know where God is really leading you? Where's your vision? Because I have a vision of the body of Christ. I mean, to hear the minister, that just to know that I'm in a good place, Brother Smith, and to hear that today, it really lifted me up and gave me strength. You know, and I know my husband doesn't come to church, and when you was talking about how we was raised and how we got married, and, you know, my dad was one of those dads who was an easygoing person. You know, it was my mother that was the disciplinary, and keep the checkbook if they kept checkbooks, pay the bills, make sure, and he just do like this, you know, and I was his favorite, if y'all know. So I could get away with a lot of things because I was his favorite, and he was an easygoing person. And so, you know, and I was in church when I was younger, and I was wondering what type of husband I would marry. Well, I married John, and he's somewhat like my dad. He's not a dominating husband, but he wants me to know he pays the bills, you know. So I don't know if he laid it down like you did, Sister Smith, 1, 2, 3, but it kind of fell that way. You know, he didn't spit it out, but he do tell me I keep the house and he pay the bills. I go to the grocery store and I cook, he wash the car, he cut the grass. He did do some of that kind of stuff, so yeah, I guess so. And maybe that's why he do 0% of cleaning up the house, because he did give that order, didn't he? Yeah. He made that order. He did. He said, that's what he said. Well, I had to remind him of that. He did say that, okay. But that's when the kids was at home, so now it's just him and I. So whichever one of us feel like getting up doing something, I guess, because it's our mess now. You know. So, but I thought about that, and I'm like, well, God, you know, I've been serving him for a long time. And going through a trial like that, you know, it's some you know, humbleness in that, humility, you know, because everybody knew who applied for the job, you know, and everybody knows me in that department, you know, so, and of course they come back, pat you on the back, say, sorry, I'm so sorry, I, you know, and then this woman she's totally opposite of my boss than I had. She's more kind of melancholy, you know, if I had to give my personality, I'm kind of melancholy, I'm not sanguine, or I'm definitely not colic. So, but this lady is, the new boss is. So now I got another trial. I got another test. Okay, God. Okay, now I didn't get the job, and then you put me somebody in here that I got to learn how to work with. And she's very, very, very right. Very right. She's so right you can't get a word in. So, and I just have to pray. So y'all just pray for me. I know God is taking me through another trial and another test, but and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then I say, well, God, you know, if this is going to be a test for me where I got to deal with someone who is very overbearing and she doesn't listen to no one's ideas but her own, you know, you got to give me strength to deal with this. I can't run from it. I don't want to run from it, and I don't want to get angry about it, you know. So, but that didn't happen overnight. I had to pray about that. I mean, I really had to pray and trust God, you know. And if this lady goes to church or talk about God, I never heard her say it or anything, so nobody has to change here but me. And it ain't like, oh God, help me. Oh, help me, help me. Because every day I'm sitting here, I could talk about it now, because some days I drive in and I say, oh, I'm back at this place again. You know, and I've never had to say that since I've been working there. Never. I've been there over 18 years and I never had to say that. And I'm like, okay, I must be growing some more in God, because this is a tough one. And I'm not going to run from this, Brother Smith, but I'm going to try to take it right so that I can see myself get closer to God, because that's my desire, is to get closer to God and learn how to trust him more. And I know if I don't have these kind of trials and tests, I can miss God. I can really miss God. And then this trial and test could be, you know, a little worse than this one. I would hope not, but it could be. So I'm asking God to keep his hands on me. Just don't let me go. Just keep your hands on me, Lord, because I got to keep working. I got to help pay some of those bills. And, you know, I'm just trusting God. So all I wanted to get up to say is, I love that song, Sister Rachel. I need the whole words. One of those, I think it's the second verse you sing, that I prayed this prayer, you know, and I really thought it was going to go this way. But God knows what's best for me, you know. And I know everybody have their trials and tests, and I do. But I can't. I'm gonna hang on, Brother Smith. I know you and I've had some conversations, and I just know that God is gonna do something for me. I believe that. I'm gonna tell you that. I'm speaking that out today, and I'm not one of those folks out there that's gonna claim it and name it. But I'm believing in it. And when you said that today, because me and God have been talking about this, I say, Lord, I don't know what it's gonna take. Either get my husband in church, my family in church, but if I just let go and trust you, just trust you, it doesn't matter, even what you said, I hate to see him just push him to the powder, because I don't want to be losing my spirit when he goes through those tests and it's just really hard for him, and he take it out on me, and you want me to show my Christian love. As his submissive wife. I'll practice that. I practice that a lot. But I'm trusting God, you know, because I know it's out of my control. You know, there's nothing I could do but trust God and believe that he can. And I know if he could save me, he could save anybody. He saved me. You know, I don't know if the young people ever know, but I got saved young, really young, you know, and I didn't know nothing about Pentecostal way. You know, I was a Baptist brat, you know, went to church with my grandparents, sat on the front row, and if we act up, they had switch. He had a switch. All we had to do was see that little switch, and we know. But when I got like 16 or 17, so no more church, you didn't have to go, you know, you was on your own. You know, so, because my parents didn't go to church. My mom and my dad, they didn't go to church. But at 16, I met a friend and he was in church. I worked with him. He would come and get me and take me to church. You know, my other sisters and brothers thought, well, why is she going to church? You know, we go out on Friday night, so she can't go because she's going to church Sunday, you know. And they were right. I stopped doing that for a while until I turned about 18. And then I started hanging back out with my friends, you know, got back in that circle because that church wasn't holding me. It wasn't nothing there to keep me or holding me. They had youth programs and everything, but one day, Brother Smith, I lived by myself and my little daughter, and I just said, God, it's got to be something better. I got back in church when I turned about 20, and I went back to Baptist church because that's all I knew. And I just, one day I came out of that church and I stood, and I, you know, if you ever had an experience with God, you know it was God. You know it was God. And I walked across the street from this church, and I just stood there. And I looked up at that church, and I said to God, is that it? Is that all you got to offer? And then the deacon came out, and he was smoking on the church, and there was another people. I said, oh, my God. And that week, Brother Smith, I don't know if I ever told you this, but that week, and I felt something standing up there looking at that church. And that week, when I went home, and I had an experience. And I didn't know what I was going through, but I had an experience. And it was God. I know now it was God, and I was believing it was God. I had a visitor that came into my home and started talking to me. You know, it was just me and my daughter. So who else could be in here? You know, it was kind of spooky. It was, you know, because I didn't know God. Not like in the sense where I knew his spirit, his Holy Ghost. You know, and I did have a friend that was telling me about, if you really want to know God, you got to get the Holy Ghost. Well, I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was then, you know, because when you're in the Baptist, they just teach the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you think when you get baptized, you got it all. Well, I did. I got baptized, thought I, you know, was saved, got the Holy Ghost. And I started having an experience with God at a young age. And he was talking to me. And my mother, and you know, the peculiar thing about this, Brother Smith, he was there for 3 days. I didn't go nowhere. No one came to visit me. I was just sitting there talking to God. My daughter would go outside and play. She would come back in, and she would give me a Kleenex because I was in there crying. Now, I didn't know why I was crying. I was talking to God. And I told my mother about that, and she brought me here. And she said, I would go to this church, you know, they teach the word really good, because I was telling about it, I wasn't learning anything. I couldn't get anything out of that preaching. I couldn't get anything out of anything they were saying. And she brought me here. And I think the first night or the first day I came here, my sister Inez, I must have been crying. She came down and said, you want to go up? And I saw all the people up there doing whatever they were doing. You know, and I'm like, I don't know, you know. But I did know. And she walked me up there. And I was crying because I felt that heavy burden of the world on my shoulders. You know, and I know I needed something, but didn't know I needed God. I needed more Jesus in my life. And Brother Lineker laid hands on me, and they told me, you know, I don't know what happened, but they told me I almost got the Holy Ghost that day. You know, so I'm like, and when I went home that night, I was on cloud 99. I thought I had been somewhere. I mean, that was the best experience in my life, Brother Smith. So that's why I'm holding on. I'm holding on because God took out the time and touched my life, and he turned my life around. And he has given me so much. He has done so much for me. I can't tell it all. I know everybody has had their experience with God, how much he has done for us. But the what he's really done is given me life. I didn't know that's what I needed for my life was Jesus. So I'm gonna quit rattling, but I'm thankful to be here. I enjoy the word of God, and I really enjoy God's spirit when the spirit comes in and touch our hearts and our minds. Thank you.
how much I appreciated that testimony right there, Sister Rochella. Maybe I'll go back to Sister Oates' testimony a couple of nights back about testimonies and about what they mean to different ones. And I just wanted to also hook onto that as I was listening to Sister Rochella, that how much they help. I can speak for myself in this and say they help me a lot. You know, from my own perspective, it's all I can speak from, being a somewhat of a body brat in the way I was raised. I don't understand the other side. As a kid when growing up, I never really got it why, but you know that song, Roll Back the Curtain of Memory Now and Then? That was my favorite song, which was funny since here I was a little kid, had never been out, done anything, I'd only known really this as far as a church. But for whatever reason, that song always touched me. Maybe that was bad because I always thought, wow, when I would listen to different people talk, I was thinking, you know, well, I don't have that kind of a testimony. This is all I've ever known. I didn't realize how precious of a testimony I had at that time. But I don't want to go off into that. What I wanted to say is that how I really appreciate hearing the testimonies of my brothers and sisters, how much they add to my life. They help me to, if anything, what I've had trouble with in my life is keeping that appreciation factor right out in front of me, not taking for granted the precious gifts of God, not ever keeping them in remembrance. You know, I think that's what Israel had so much trouble with as they were going through the wilderness. After blessing of God, and he takes them through this experience, blesses them with manna, all these great, wonderful things through the Red Sea, and then 2 days later, it's like, oh, that was so past. You know, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. All I know, God, is we have a need now. You know, where are you at now, God? That's the way it ever seemed to be in the Old Testament. Well, I take that into my appreciation or my love of the things of God, how I often get caught up in the moment, get caught up in where I'm at right now, and I lose sight of those landmarks, because that's what they are. I was thinking as I was sitting there, as she was talking about going through the opportunity of being there for her husband as he goes through things, about what we're doing is we're building a resume. You know, in the business world, well, I've truly found what she was saying is that it seems like it's not what you know that gets you to the door, but it's who you know that actually gets you through it most of the time in the business world. But you at least have to have that resume, because a lot of times if you don't even have the qualifications and they see that, they may not even give you an opportunity. Well, what we're doing here today, what I'm doing is I'm building a resume with those experiences that I've been through, those trials and those tests. That's my opportunity to be thankful, to see what God has brought me through and how he's lifted me up, and how, you know, I know I'm not perfect. I'm a long way from it. I don't want to get my eye, though, out there. I want to look at day by day. On that aspect, I want to go, all right, Lord, you've brought me one day further. I'm that much closer to you. I'm not going to look at how far away I am for perfection, but I want to live that one more day, or I want to get in the spirit, like Brother Smith says, and live in it for that day, live in it for that hour. If I can do that for that hour, then maybe I can go 2 hours, Sister Smith, and then maybe I can go 3 hours. Next thing you know, I might have a whole 24-hour day of living in the spirit, of following him, and keeping my mind on those things that have made me who I am. You know, like I was saying, I appreciated her testimony. I remember hers. I remember Sister Tally, she's gotten it before. Sister Inez's, Sister Crow, in how God dealt with her. You know, each one of them, it's so different, and it's such a strength, because I can then look and say, God, number one, though, I want to look at, I didn't have to be like Brother Smith and say, where have these people been all my life? You know, I'm coming in, oh no, I'm not going to make it. And, you know, when he talks about what he went through when he first came to the body, I had a privilege to be given this from birth, if you will, and to see it. And Lord, I know I have taken it for granted before, and I have walked away. I've sold all those precious goods before, but I thank God that he's got mercy. And His grace was planted in my life to where I had the opportunity to one day taste of this manna again and wade out in that river that we have an opportunity for. And so when I was listening to her testimony, I just wanted to get up and say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for those testimonies. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to come and listen and to sup with my brothers and sisters and to hear those. To hear Sister Oates' testimony, how she found this way. Those are so precious. And I appreciate it when I get to hear them. I don't know that I've heard from Republic everyone's testimony. Brother York, I've heard it from Brother Smith's point of view, but I've never heard it from your point of view. I'd be curious to see how different it is. What happened? I'd like to see pictures of the fro myself also. But that's for a little different time. But I just wanted to get up and express my thankfulness for this church and for the jewels that I'm sitting amongst, for the wonderful people that are there as strengths just to be there, just to turn your way and smile and lift you up that much more. And I, in turn, want to be that same way and put my hand out and say, here, can I help you along the way? Can I be there for you? So I just wanted to get up and say how much I appreciate this church, how much I appreciate Brother Smith and Sister Smith. And I'm sorry. I believe then the sacrifice, the work that they've put into this, I appreciate that. I want to also give honor to Brother Weinger for the strength, for the time that he put in fighting the good fight of faith, continuing on through adversity, continuing on. You know, I was thinking about going through trials and tests and maybe sometimes feeling like I've failed God and not done what's right. But you know, isn't it so precious how the Bible says a righteous man falleth 7 times. But you know what makes him righteous? He gets up, dusts himself off, and continues on the road. Sometimes I fall. Sometimes I may not understand. I may make the wrong decision because I might not listen to my wife. And I might think, well, let me tell you something. I know which way it is. I know how to get to BB without going through Conway. But I'm the same way, though, because there's been many a trip that it's taken another hour and a half or so because I knew where we were going. I just didn't know how to get there, and I didn't want to share that. But I appreciate my wife for having a better sense of direction, I guess, than I do. But I'm just wanting to say how thankful I am for this church, how thankful I am for the people here, how thankful I am that we're being able to put this word in these youth's heart. You know, my children now are having the opportunity to grow up here and to hear these things from a young age, to get them planted. And you know what? How precious that is? Because whenever I was that prodigal son, when I was out there sitting on that bar stool and all my so-called friends were having their good time, and I was sitting there miserable, wondering why, is because God's word was planted down deep in my heart. And it wouldn't leave me alone. And thank God I want to do that the same thing to my children. So if they were hard-headed, like their dad, then I know I can pray and say, Lord, don't let them rest. Lord, I would prefer that they have a different road, that they be wise, that they not be average like me and have to learn it on my own, but that they be wise and that they ever serve God and lift Him up. And let me tell you, I appreciate the spirit that the youth are having right now in letting God use them. I just told Spence over there, I said, you know, you coming up here, you letting God use you, I said, other people will seek God through you when you go up and you ask for God to help you. You may think it's just for you, but you could be a doorway allowing someone else to come up and seek God that they may not have felt as comfortable to come up if you hadn't come up here. So I want to appreciate that. I want to lift that up in our young people. I appreciate them. I appreciate them. And keep on. Keep holding on. You've got young people like myself backing you up. You've got older, younger people backing you up. So press on. Keep on going. We're going to be there with you through it all. You know, I still need help. Am I middle-aged now? I mean, I don't think I'm middle-aged. Because what, 50's now middle-aged? Is that right? 35? I'm close. No, I'm not there. I'm close. So I'm still a youth. So I just wanted to get up though and lift my voice today and say thank you to my brothers and sisters and let you know how precious you are in my eyes. And I love you very much, and I love the Lord.
Like you and me. Christ and he rose again. So let's keep holding on to his sweet love. Always holding on to his sweet love. We shall keep on in his loving arms. Let's keep holding on to him. So let's keep holding on to his sweet love. Always holding on to his sweet love. We shall keep on in his loving arms. Let's keep holding on to him. Keep holding on to him. So living in this old world of sin, don't give up, for we shall rise again. Christ died so he could deliver men. So let's reach out and take his hand. So let's keep holding on to his sweet love. Always holding on to his sweet love. Holding on to his sweet love. Always holding on to his sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in his loving arms. Let's keep holding on to him. Let's keep holding on to his sweet love. Always holding on to his sweet love. Sheltered from all harm.
It's so good, I hate to close it. It's been a good day. Appreciate the Lord. Let's appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. I feel the Lord helping us here. The youth that are going to help with a little short meeting right after service in the gym to discuss some fundraising ideas with the youth and the youth's parents. They'd like for some of the parents to get in on it. So just short, it won't take just a little while. Just want to share some ideas and maybe get some. Remember that. We was going to do that between service today, and I forgot to announce it. So we can take just a few minutes tonight or this evening. Praise God. Feel like you've been to church? If you don't, your feeler's broke. Let's all give him a praise. Stand and let's praise him before we go home. Oh God. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness and mercy to us. God, for your greatness. Oh, Lord. God, would you give us each one a good week this week? Lord, just bless us. God, begin to work these things in our lives. Give us that visitation you gave Sister Rochella. Touch each one of us this week in a special way, Lord. Let us know you're there. You're leading and you're helping. You're directing our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Shake hands and be friendly. Birthday.